It's Fans on Patrol time. It's Fans on Patrol time.
This is Beat 'em Down from Colt 45, the movie podcast, and you are listening to the Geek World All-Stars Podcast Network.
All right, it's episode 290. Title of the show this week is Midway.
And it's Fans of Patrol time!
I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is the sensitive one herself, Miss Tiffobot. Say hello to the people, Tiff.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing?
I'm cool, man. And Mr.
S-M-O-O-V-E, spell smooth, not Dwayne.
And how are you this week, sir?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good.
All right.
Nice and healthy. Right. How's everybody else? Everybody healthy?
I think so. You never know these days. You can be walking around with a deadly virus and not even know you're a carrier. So I don't know. I assume I feel fine. I'll say that right now.
Yes, so. we all feel good, and we're doing our best to wash our hands, etc.
Wash our hands, wash our cheeks, wash everything, man. Just stay clean, y'all.
Well, you need some germs, though. You know, you got to have some germs to counter germs. So I didn't wash up yet. So
that's why I eat dirt.
Okay. So you.
Oh, that's.
I'm just kidding.
So I'm learning stuff. All right. You don't wash your ass and you eat dirt. So.
I thought.
Well, no, that's really today. Funny. Today I didn't watch.
Oh, smooth.
I will.
Don't try to get out of now, man. Oh boy. So we got a decent show, man. So this week we got actually this is like a regular Fans of Patrol news hour. I was so happy. I was like, Tiff is gonna be jealous because news was so easy this week. Oh man, it was so easy. So this week, man, we actually have some Zack Snyder news. We're gonna talk about that and some big news that people surprised me at how excited people were when this was announced. So we'll get to that later. We got a new gem on Fans of Patrol that I just want to point out to my co-hosts. We got another celebrity that just keeps on giving to Fans on Patrol. That's Charlize Theron. She has something else new out. We was talking about her last week. She just the gem that just keeps on giving, man. So we have some hot Charlize Theron news. And there's news in the Spider-Verse move, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to break it down, and we're going to dissect it right here on Fans of Patrol for the people. Also, this week, we got a new game. It's called Who Said It? It might not be new, but I think it is. This week's one.
I'm going to do so. I can already tell. I know what it is, but I'm going to do bad at it.
I don't. Well, you might. We'll see. You know, new games is hard, smooth, you know, because you just don't know if it's going to land the way you want it to land, you know. So we're going to try it. All right.
Okay.
We did The Man in the High Castle this week as our one shot. Now, we know this is 4 years old. We do. But we've never talked about this on the show. We know it has a hot fan base. And we're running out of one shots, man. So leave us alone. So we're doing Man in the High Castle. So. Also, the Big Daddy for the day. In honor of our memorial vets in here in the United States, we're doing Midway. You know, that worked out perfectly. So we actually got two things having to do with, you know, war, some fictitious, some real. And that's going to do it for the day. Saying all that glory, which is Fans of Patrol. Are you guys ready to get it on?
Yes.
Let's do it.
All right, man. I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped on a patriotic weekend, man. You know, when this comes out, it'll be the day before Memorial Day. So before we get rolling full steam ahead, I was about to say shift. I mean, Tiff, did you hit that social media?
Yes. For everything Fans and Patrol, go to fansandpatrol.com. That's our main hub. We've got show notes, show art, all that good stuff, fansandpatrol.com. Reach us directly at fans, F-A-N-S, at fansandpatrol.com. That's for questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, anything you have to say to us. Otherwise, you can get to us on our social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Fans and Patrol. And we are on Stitcher, Satchel, Google Play, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Please subscribe. Leave us reviews and ratings. That helps us be searchable, and we'll shout you out on the air.
Excellent. Excellent. So let's move on, man. So our first news story, man. Now, I have to tell you guys, I wasn't going to make this a news story until I saw all the cheers for this article. So many news outlets, including Variety, released this week that the coveted, you know, long grassroots, we want it and you're going to give it to us group got Zack Snyder to come out and say and tell everybody that there will be a release of the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League on HBO Max. Now, if you're not familiar with HBO Max, I believe it launches on May 27th. It's HBO's foray into the streaming service, already on top of the streaming service that they have. Now, I don't know if HBO Go is going to go away and then you just have, they're going to have two streaming services. I don't know. So HBO Max is coming out, and not when it is released. I believe it's going to happen later on this summer, but the Justice League Zack Snyder cut will be available. Now, just to, I'm gonna get you guys' thoughts on this, but before we do, I just want to say that the movie was damn near released. I mean, before, you know, this cut happened. I mean, they had like the majority of the movie done, is what I meant to say. Before they had some post production type of, you know, special effects things that were still left to do. And if you guys remember, what's your guys, the head, he came in and he finished directing the last little bit of
Josh
the movie.
Josh Whedon.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that guy.
Right. That's, yeah. He came in and he finished it, and the movie was released. Cost him $300 million to make it. It made $600 million worldwide, being utter failure in the eyes of rich people. So, anytime you make your money back and then double that, I call that a win. But I guess they wanted more money than that. And who knows how much they paid for, you know, promotions and stuff, because everything was Justice League at that time. So, is he coming back just to do some post-production razzle-dazzle? I mean, I don't know why people are so excited, but they're very excited. And so, I got some thoughts on it, but I'm dying to hear what you guys have to say about it. Let's go to the super fan first, Smooth.
It's coming out in 2021, so they got some time to, like you said, to do some tweaking, make it a little better. I do want to see it because I do like Zack Snyder's work, especially with, you know, the Batman that he did use, you know, with the Dark Knight and the Joker and Bane, you know, and I think it should be a good take on it. I think it would be a better take than the Justice League that we've seen.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What do you mean with Bane and the Joker? I'm not following.
No, I mean he did. I mean that's the Zack Snyder, right? That
no,
who did, he, no, 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 no.
Christopher Nolan.
I am sorry. You're right. No, I apologize. I got him mixed up.
Okay.
No, I did. He did Man of Steel, correct?
Yes.
I like Man of Steel. So, I mean, no, with that, you know, I like I said, there's not too many people that like Man of Steel, and I'll probably get booed from, you know, a lot of fanboys and girls. But anyway, I am looking forward to this darker Justice League because there might be some cussing, and I'm pretty sure there'll be some blood and guts. You know, and it'll probably be rated R. It'll be on HBO Max, so yeah, they can do some things. They can not have
Smooth.
To worry about hold up, trying Smooth. To get kids to watch it.
Hold
yeah.
up, Smooth. Let me interrupt you real quick. But it looks like to me they're only doing some post production work. I mean, the majority of the shooting was pretty much completed. They're not going to put these people back in suits and stuff.
Oh, that is true. You were right about that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they can do some. Maybe they can do some overs. Hmm. You know what I'm saying?
It's media.
Yeah, you know, but yeah, I'm looking for, you know, I think it'll be worth watching. Only thing is, I'm sorry that they're pushing it to 2021. This would be the perfect time to put something like this out right now.
You don't have
it. They'll get a bigger audience.
Obviously, they don't have it together. So, Tiff, what's your take on this stuff?
I do not like Man of Steel.
Right, man.
So that maybe colors my idea, but I do think potentially Justice League did suffer from having like a disparity between its beginning and end. You know what I mean? Like there was like tonal differences that you could feel in the film.
Yeah.
Because of the different touches it had.
Yeah. Apparently this movie is supposed to have Apocalypse in it. So there you go. So go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to see just on that, see like what difference that would make. I am apprehensive for them because I do think that so it said in the article, there was a big campaign for this to be released time.
Mm-hmm.
And even the stars of the movie themselves were like, hey, hashtag Snyder Cut, release it, blah, blah, blah. I'm a little worried that they think that once the Snyder Cut is released, it will change the way that people view this movie that was kind of seen as a flop. And I worry that, honestly, it won't make a difference. It probably still is kind of shitty. I'm a little bit worried for them.
Some of the biggest director's cuts I've seen, guys, had maybe like 20 minutes of extra footage thrown in here and there. And sometimes it improves the process. I don't know, man. You're going to put Apocalypse somewhere in a movie would make a lot more sense. So that could be a pretty big scene, you know, that you're throwing in there. But it's still, the ultimate villain was this Steppenwolf guy. And I don't know. I don't think you're going to really do that much justice to the Justice League by doing this. And then you're putting it on HBO Max. So it's this huge push to get, you know, at least subscriptions for a month. All right, enough Justice League, man. Let's hop on over to Charlize Theron. Now, this was a surprise to me. And, you know, we had a story last week talking about the, what was that, guys? The Mad Max reboot, you know.
Yeah.
We was hoping that wasn't going to happen, but I guess they're in talks with some person I don't even know. But, you know, she kind of looks like, I'm not saying she looks like a young Charlize Theron, but, you know. So they're doing that. But Charlize is not going to be, you know, snubbed, Tiff, because she did a Netflix movie that we weren't aware of. And that's what I like about these Netflix movies. They keep stuff on the hush, y'all. Have y'all noticed that?
Yeah,
they do kind of like surprise you.
Yeah, like that Chris Hemsworth project came out of nowhere for me. I was like, whoa, what is this? You know, I like that. I like that. Because I'm not being built up, Tiff, over the next year for something that's gonna, there's no way in the world that the project could, you know, fulfill my hypeness when it comes out. It's called what? The Old Guard, Charlize Theron. I'll just run what's this is about real quick, and then I want to find out what you guys think about this. So she looks like a mercenary in a band of mercenaries, man. They walk into this room, they get gunned down, then they pop up. And you're thinking, oh, nothing supernatural or something like that. It's just, you know, maybe they, you know, got some machine parts or, you know, some augmentations. But then all of a sudden it quickly reminds you of Assassin's Creed, that this group of people actually have a mission appointed by themselves to topple governments, you know, changes the balance of power to do the right thing for society. And the catch is they cannot be murdered through conventional means. I mean, I'm sure if you vaporize their asses, they ain't coming back, but they get shot up in this a lot. So, and there's Charlize is the leader of this group appearing. There's a lot of great kung fu, gun fu action smooth. And she seems to be recruiting a new person who is not a part of the group, but appears to have the same power. And it appears that this is a natural phenomenon, because they have some scenes with them showing people in the past, you know, being killed, and they're still around, and they kind of explain that. So, Tiff, how is this grabbing you?
Yeah. Okay. So, when it first happened, when they walk in and they get shot by all those people, I was like, this is maybe stupid. I can't tell if it's stupid or not. So then I keep watching, and I'm like, okay, I think that this is a kind of movie that I would like, because as you all know, I really enjoy like a ragtag team.
Yes.
That's the gruff one. That's the sensitive one, whatever, you know?
Yes.
And so I want to see how they play, because like they've been a team for a long time through the ages.
Yes.
Because the girl asks them, are you bad guys? And they go, depends on what century.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And so it strikes me as something that could maybe be already a better series than a movie, because you could definitely focus on like the backstory of each of the team.
Excellent point. We said the same thing about Six Underground too.
Yes. But that's okay. If it's a movie, it could still be interesting and good. I'm excited to see, like, because clearly you're right, somebody is going to die probably. But there's a plot in the movie. It's something to do with their genetics. So the plot of this particular mission they're on is like maybe figure out or avoid
detection.
Being right. They don't want to get obviously dissected to find out how to make super soldiers. So But it actually looks pretty interesting.
Yeah, there's Cheetah. What is his name? Dwayne Cheetah Ejiofor. He is in there.
Yeah, Cheetah Ejiofor. Yeah, really? Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, me too.
He's a good actor. I like when he said, "Yeah, that's the first villain that I've seen where he." Well, I don't know if he's a villain or not, but he was like, "Yeah, we need to get out of here. We're outmatched here." I thought that was a good. I thought that was a good part of the. Only thing. Well, my take is. It's a weak pulse for me because it's, you know that you can't die. It's not like that hasn't been done before. You know, of course, the gung-fu action, I'm pretty sure it's going to be, you know, some good acting and good choreographed fighting scenes, stuff like that. But what I found more interesting was them back in the day instead of modern time. I kind of want to see mm-hmm. that. I want to see, you know, where they don't have all these modern weapons. I want to see how they were back in, you know, maybe 19th century, 18th century. That's, you know, when they showed them getting hung like they was witches or something, like Salem or something like that. So, I mean, I'm going to watch it, but it's not pretty. Like I said, it's not really, I'm not like, oh, wow, you know, saying, yeah, we got to see this. I want to see Charlize Theron kick ass again. It's kind of like you've seen this before. That's just my take. Okay. Not saying it's going to be bad. That's just my take. Yeah.
Gotcha. So, I'm digging the hell out of this, man. I saw this and got really excited. One, because it's on Netflix and it came really quick. Two, with the exception of maybe The Fast and the Furious, I haven't really seen Charlize Theron waste her time on a project that wasn't really interesting. Now, we all know I didn't like Mad Max, but, you know, she was the best thing about it. I said that when we reviewed it. I stand by that. She was the best thing about that movie. I just didn't like the story. Because we drove here and then we drove back. Anyway, go back to this, man. You know, I'm digging this. I'm liking this mentoring relationship I'm seeing, you know, in the trailer with the young person. And so that's cool. And I think this is going to be a little bit more different than we both think this is. I mean, all three of us think this is. And I'm really excited for this.
Mm-hmm.
It's free. And, well, free, on, you know, if you already have the app. Right. But, you know, action. Give me that action, man, and make it believable. Oh yes, I'm in 100%. So let's move on from there.
That does not surprise me.
No, it looks great. What else the hell? Shit, you a fan? What else you want to see? Shit. So, man, Sony dropped a bombshell on everybody yesterday. I mean, it hit like boom. Everything got quiet.
Right.
Sony said what they were going to do was they were expanding the Spider-Verse, man. They were grabbing yet another character for Spider-Man. And what they were going to do is they're going to get Jackpot. Y'all don't sound excited. What's the matter? What's the matter, y'all? Y'all don't seem excited.
Well,
like we said, I don't know who that is.
You don't know who Jackpot is? Yeah. You don't know who Jackpot is? Oh my goodness! Smooth. Tell her who Jackpot is.
I vaguely know. Well, her first appearance was Free Comic Book Day, 2007.
Oh.
Yeah, but Tiff, that's I had to look that up myself because I didn't know that shit. You know what I'm saying? This is kind of smart in my opinion because they have been getting beat up for introducing their characters, the Spider-Man characters, and you know, fanboys and girls don't like they didn't do it right. They didn't do this person right. They didn't do him right, you know. So I think they're taking a safe approach with this Jackpot character, you know, to make sure that you know they have a little wiggle room. Yeah, she does have a backstory. A slight backstory. I think she was in maybe two or three books. They're playing it safe. And then also, it's kind of like the Guardians of the Galaxy approach. You know, they weren't that, you know, they weren't that popular. However, we can make some new money, in which they have done with the Guardians of the Galaxy. They have made a ton of new money off the Guardians of the Galaxy. So they can probably make a ton of new money off of this Jackpot character. Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, let me slow you up on some of that stuff because it's some vast differences of what's happening here. So
okay.
All that old stuff with the old characters that they were doing has nothing to do with this. They're still building off the Tom Holland Spider-Man universe, which is the best thing they got going for them. And we don't know what's going to happen with that Spider-Verse after this next movie because that's the last one where Marvel Disney is going to be involved. So they made this decision. They made a decision to do Morbius. Now, Morbius is a pretty not a popular character, but people know of him, and he has an interesting backstory, and he's been around for a long time. That was the same that could be said for the Guardians of the Galaxy's move. They had been around for a long time. No, they weren't that popular, but they were recognizable. You knew who the hell Rocket Raccoon was when you seen him. You know what I'm saying? For the average fan, you know, some people never didn't realize, but he was like, oh, yeah, that's that goofy thing. Man, they really taking a risk doing this because this is some weird stuff. But Jackpot, I mean, first of all, I had to look her up because, you know, I was like, what the hell is this? And then, what, she had some gene splicing therapy of when she was pregnant or something like that, and then she got super strength? So she has super strength. So, smooth. They're trying to do a Guardians of the Galaxy, but my God, you're not going to get booties in the seats, man, with this character because nobody gives a shit.
Well, the thing is, this is going to be a hard sell because, well, put it like this. The trailer is going to have to be spectacular. Because, like, you know, like you just said, you already got people pissed off because the character is so vague. Nobody knows who she is, and then they're pissed because, like you said, you had a variety of people that they could have picked. You know,
I'm gonna disagree with you because they don't have that many, but they do have some.
What?
Because, no, we're talking about the Spider-Man characters. Because you got Felicia Hardy. Say if you want to do good guys, there are plenty of bad guys because you got all the Spider-Man bad guys, right?
Yeah, right.
But
yeah,
the good guys, exactly. You got what? Felicia, who a bad guy sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Who else you got?
See? Let's see who else helps him out. Well, hold on.
That's what I'm saying. See?
Hold on.
It's a struggle, man.
I mean, what's
what about Spider Gwen? Why can't she have her own?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you could. Exactly. You could. You can do Spider-Gwen.
Yeah, you can do Felicia. Yeah, you can do Spider-Gwen.
You can do... It's getting low. It's not that many people. That's...
What about that really awesome run where Doc Ock became...
Superior Spider-Man. You could do that.
Superior Spider-Man.
Excuse me, though. Yeah, that's still Spider-Man. It'll be the same actor. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
You know? It's still... At the end of the day, it's Spider-Man. You're talking about a storyline. I'm talking about characters. And there's not that many hero characters that's specific to Spider-Man that Disney doesn't own. So that's why they pulled out this obscure stuff. I mean, they're going to make Morbius a superhero complicated thing, you know, and what else you going to do?
Right.
You know, I mean, they in trouble too. Hold up for a second.
Well, yeah, Venom.
Right, they did Venom. So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, they did it. That was Sony's Marvel Spider-Man. Tiff.
Right. Right.
Where are you at in all this, Felicia?
Well, so I think actually there is a little bit of truth to both your statements. I think that if they could definitely surprise people, and I think like there will be a certain amount of curiosity from fans to see it. And if the fans get excited about it, it definitely trickles down. And I would say that because even my mom, who has no idea about any of this stuff, loves Guardians of the Galaxy. You know what I mean? Like, she's like, oh, have you seen that? Like, a long time ago when it came out. Like, I'm like, yes, I've seen it. So I think there's just like a general trickle down effect to something that is really good. The problem is, as we've seen with previous things, since this has displeased people instead of pleased them or made them curious in any way, they can end up just not going out of spite and destroying the film before it even has a chance.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard sometimes when you're making movies that people don't want to see. And that's what Solo suffered from. I love that damn movie. I don't give a damn what nobody say. I love Solo.
That movie was good. But it was good, too. I liked it.
It's the movie nobody ever wanted. So I don't think people really gave it a chance and really, you know, got behind it. And, you know, because it was like, who really wanted to see a Han Solo movie? You know what I'm saying? So we're going to give you something that you didn't ask for. And so that works out sometimes. But now more in these modern movie times, that's a big ass gamble. You know, you're like, ooh. They don't really want this.
Yeah.
Well, who's supposed to be in charge? Mark Guggenheim?
Yep.
The creator of what? Of Legends of Tomorrow? Did he create that or is he directing? What is he? I know he's tied into that. But if he can make that stuff, I mean, how long has Legends of Tomorrow been on?
So this is what they got to work with, Sony. So Kraven is a bad guy. But they're talking about doing a Kraven movie. That's a gamble.
Right.
They're talking about doing...
Madam Web.
They're talking about doing Madam Web. Yeah, they're talking about doing Madam Web, which I don't know why you would do that. And they're also talking about doing Silk, which is a Spider-Man knockoff, and that's the kind of shit I hate, you know. And
But I'm saying, but there you go with the character, like you just said, you just gave us some good, I mean, some good guy characters. And Madam Web, a lot of people do like Madam Web. I mean, you know, she has a mysterious
smooth.
I didn't know anything about her till the animated series came out. Smooth. You know?
She's not a central character though. You know, she doesn't have her own stuff. She's not a, you know, she shows up every once in a while with the Spider-Verse garbage. You know, come on, you know. You're gonna make a movie.
I mean, and of course they don't follow the same structure as they do on the comic books as they do the movies. You know that. Okay. You know they add and you know they add stuff to it. So
they're gonna show Madam Web as a young girl. Who cares? Y'all, you know, y'all just didn't bite off as much as y'all thought y'all could chew with just buying Spider-Man only. You know, y'all need some help. Y'all need Disney. This y'all need to keep that going so you can borrow some characters. That's all I'm saying, man. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like y'all talking about doing Kraven the Hunter. Get the hell out of here. Who cares? You know, shit. He wasn't even all that great of a bad guy. Get out of here, man. Anyway, goodness.
Well, I mean that's your opinion. I think it'd be cool if you see this dude. I mean, he doesn't have any powers, but he's. Yeah, you know, he's a good huntsman. He can, you know.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, he was interesting in the cartoon.
Can I really? You know? Because I'm gonna be honest with you. Every time they had Kraven Hunter, I was like, God. I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He's a distraction that you might think. Oh well, see a little bit of Kraven a little bit, but who stand up if you're a Kraven fan and you just love to see this Kraven movie? You know, give me a break. Come on.
There's a lot of people that love it, want to see it.
Who, are you Seriously? One of them?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah, I would like to see it.
So out of all the shit in the universe like to see, it. You would like to see this before all the other stuff they could do?
I would like Thank to you. See it. I'm not saying I'm not putting it forward, but if they decided to come out with Kraven, then I'm like, okay, I'll check Kraven out.
Huh. Holy I'm not gonna shit. Be like, yeah. If you guys were in my comic book shop, I would have asked you to leave by now.
Oh, shit. moving on, so we're going to take our break and we're going to be right back. All right, man, we're back from our first break and it's time for the game. Now, this is a brand new game and it's not that difficult to follow. So basically, I'm just going to read some movie quotes. And where our theme this weekend is something to do with war, you know, and things like that. And it might not be deep, deep war like you might think. So it's some kind of war theme. And so if you guys can tell me who the character is and the actor is and the film, then you get 3 points. If you can only tell me one of those, then you only get one of the points. If you can't tell me any, of course, you don't get anything. There is no multiple choice. There is no true or false. You have to get it on a number, and then we're going to move on. Each quote is answer. So before we begin, do you guys have any questions?
No.
No.
Okay. So
not at all.
Who would like to go first?
Smooth can go first.
All right, Smooth.
Okay.
She volunteered you.
Yep.
Okay. First question, Smooth. I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
That's Apocalypse Now. I can't remember. That's the Daddy Sheen, right?
You got this. What you call him?
The movie. I got the movie.
Mm-hmm. Do you have the actor or the character?
I do not have the actor or the character. I know he's bald headed though.
Okay, so that's 1 point for Smooth.
So one right. point. All right.
One point. Yeah. You're on the board.
Now who was it though? Can we get that?
It was Lieutenant Colonel Bill Kilgore. So
Kilgore.
Yeah. You like that? So Tiff, you ready?
Yeah.
Keep the sand out of your weapons. Keep those actions clear. I'll see you on the beach.
I don't have any idea.
Really?
Not a single clue.
Captain John Miller from Saving Private Ryan. What's his name? Tom Hanks.
Okay. Well, I've seen that movie for sure, but I don't remember him saying that.
So there's no stealing in this?
I guess we can't do it now because I robbed you out of one. Did you know it?
No, I'm just, you know.
I guess going forward we can steal.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so here we go.
Yeah, if we know it, you know.
Smooth, this is for you. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I sure am.
My name is Maximus Decimus Mesidius. commander of the armies of the North and the general under the Felix legions. You know who that is?
Sure do. That's Gladiator, and that's Russell Crowe.
Okay.
And you said his name, Maximus Meridius City.
3 points for Smooth.
Yeah, thank you. That was, that was a softball. You would have gotten that one. You know what? I'm gonna go ahead and give some of my points to Tiff.
You can't give nothing. Moving on.
You ain't making him so mad when you do that.
Tiff, the Almighty tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
Oh.
Ooh, I know that one. Oh. I know that one. You got it, Tiff. Come on, you got it. You got it. You got it.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know.
That's Braveheart.
Okay.
And that was Braveheart. That is Braveheart. What are you talking about? The movie Braveheart.
Okay, you said that 5 times. What's the matter? Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said no.
No.
Oh, I thought you said no. It's not.
No,
oh,
I didn't. Keep your drawers on over there, Smooth. Okay. What's the problem?
No, it's a delay or something. It's like it cuts you off where it sounded like you said it was like a oh, and I figured you said no. But that's not it.
I'm you like, want to finish it. Answer the question?
Well, what was his name, man? I can't remember his name.
Okay, it was Steven. He was Steven from Braveheart.
Steven. And that's my island. And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, boy.
So is that 1 point?
He got 1 point.
Yeah. It's 1 point. Yeah. It's 1 point.
I've never seen Braveheart.
Really?
What?
Ooh.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Smooth. Aim small, miss small.
Say it again because you cut off.
Aim small, miss small.
Aim small, miss small. No idea.
Nothing? Tiff?
Nothing.
I assume not. So that's Captain Benjamin Martin. That's played by Mel Gibson in The Patriot.
Oh, okay.
Now I remember that. That very good movie.
I have seen that movie when I was younger.
Okay.
I seen that movie also, but I don't remember that part.
All right, is this Tiff's turn? Yeah, that was the way.
Yep.
Yes, it is. Yes,
all right, Tiff,
is.
If you don't get this one, you are the worst. Okay, I feel the need for speed.
Okay, that's Top Gun.
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Bam.
But they say, don't they say it together? Isn't it Tom Cruise?
There you go.
And, what?
You got the actor.
And it's Maverick.
I'll give it to you. It's Lieutenant Pete.
And Goose.
It's Lieutenant Pete Mitchell, but his nickname is Maverick, so I'll give that to you. So that's 3 points.
Yeah, I finally made it on the board. That was an easy one.
Okay, this is another easy one. Smooth. I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
Oh God. Are you quitting on me? Well, are you? Then quit, you slimy fucking worst looking piece of shit. Get the fuck off of my obstacle. Yeah, there you go, fans.
Oh shit! Oh man, I know the movie. That is damn. Hold on, the movie is shit. Oh, I know this movie. Why can't I get it?
Okay, smooth. I'm about to give it over to Tiff.
It is. Damn it, yo.
Tiff, it's on you.
I don't know.
Okay. Move. You were close. That was Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, played by the late R. Lee Emery, and that's Full Metal Jacket.
Emery, yeah. Full Metal Jacket. I knew it. I just couldn't get it. It was right there. I just couldn't get it.
Yep. I've never seen Full Metal Jacket.
It's a pretty good but scary movie.
It is.
To me.
I know you won't get this one, Tiff, but oh well.
All right. That's fair.
I ain't got time to bleed.
You ain't got time for what?
I ain't got time to bleed.
I got this one.
Shit.
I got this one.
I don't know.
Smooth.
It is the Predator. Well, Predator.
Yep.
And Jesse the Body Ventura. Yep. I didn't know what I forgot what his name was in that movie.
His name.
I got tired to bleed.
His name was Blaine. So you got 2 points.
You know what's really sad? Now that you say that, I do know it. And it's crazy that I should know it because I've seen that movie several times.
Okay.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Several times I've seen it.
Okay.
Because it's one of Mike's favorites.
Oh yeah, y'all know me and Predator. We're the same. Right. All right, Smooth. You ready?
Yep. Yes, I am.
All right, sweethearts. What are you waiting for? Breakfast in bed? Another glorious day in the Corps. A day in the Marine Corps is like a day on a farm. Every meal is a banquet. Every paycheck is a fortune.
Aliens.
Oh, shit.
I do not remember his name, though.
Sergeant Apone. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. You got 1 point.
Yeah.
Tiff, did you have
nice
any idea?
Done.
Thank you.
Nope. I've seen that, too, though.
Okay. So we got two more here, okay?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Tiff.
It's ironic. Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Remember, Sully, when I promised I would kill you last, I lied.
Oh, I know. That's Commando.
That's Commando.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And, oh, what is his fucking name in that movie, though? I don't know his name.
John Matrix. You got 2 points.
That's like one of my favorite quotes in that movie. I say it all the time.
I know. I knew you was going to get it. I was like, it just happened to land there, too. Smooth.
Yep.
You see, Danny, I deal with the bullets and the bombs and the blood. You don't want money. And I don't want medals. What I do want for is for you to stand there in that fucking gaudy white uniform with your hand, with your Harvard mouth. Extend me some fucking courtesy.
That sounds like from a douchebag. Let me see. I'm not going to waste any time because I it's vaguely familiar, but I give up.
I'm going to guess.
Yep, I was saying you're going to be mad when you find out. Go ahead, Tiff.
Oh, well, I don't know if I'm right. Mm-hmm. I've never seen this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Is it A Few Good Men?
It is!
It is.
Is it Jack Nicholson?
It's Jack Nicholson. That's 2 points. You know his name?
I don't know his name.
That's Colonel Nathan Jessup. Very well done. Very well done.
2 years. Yes.
Okay. All right, guys. So what do you guys think? You guys like that game? I kind of dig it.
Yeah, it's cool. Smooth had 8 points. I had 7.
Wow!
Oh, wow.
It got that close.
Wow, you were eating.
I did better than I thought.
Pretty good there, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good job.
Yeah, you did.
Good job, everyone.
Honorable mention, right there.
Honorable mention. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
So you get
very
your well. Tunes, Smooth. You got your tunes. You get your victory. Congratulations.
I got my tunes. Thank you. Okay. I am the champion.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with the man in the high castle. We'll be right back. We have returned just in time to talk about the man in the high castle. We're only 4 years late. It's all right. Don't be mad at us. Started in 2015. And I had so many recommendations to watch this. Never got around to it. But hey, so much shit to stream. Right, guys? We can only do so much, right?
I only got 2 eyeballs.
Right.
Right. 1 brain, 2 eyeballs. You're right.
Yeah. Right. So, man in the high castle. So let me try to set this up. First of all, before we get started with this TV mature 2015 drama sci-fi thriller, it's time for one word. Smooth, 1 word.
Diabolical.
No. Excellent. Excellent. Tiff?
Intrigue.
Wow. Yes. My word is excellent. That's the word of the day. Excellent. I enjoyed this.
Sorry, Mr. Burns.
That's my best Mr. Burns there. So it stars Alexis Davalos, who I really thought was a lady who was in a Tom Cruise movie, but she's so young, it's not her. You know, the woman who plays his wife. Luke Kalentake. Rufus Sewell. Fans of, what's that, movies with the knight in shining armor, Heath Ledger. He played Adamar in that Heath Ledger movie with the knights and the jousting and all that stuff.
Oh, Knight's Tale.
Knight's Tale, yeah. He's the bad guy. So I was like, there's Lord Adamar.
He looks like he hasn't aged very much.
No, he's like, he hasn't. That's not cracking either, so I don't know.
Those evil eyes.
Our black don't crack is getting debunked here, Tiff, because we're finding a lot of other people.
I think it's just sometimes a white person is lucky.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah. So Carrie,
a lot of cocoa butter.
Carrie Tigwa, was happy to see him in here. DJ Quells. So a lot of people in this. And
my dude.
Yeah. So this is a dystopian America, dominated by Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan. A young woman discovers a mysterious film that may hold the key to toppling the totalitarian regime. So that's the synopsis of it. So yes, it's an alternate reality. And the show does a really good job, in my opinion, when it comes on with, if you watch the credits, the opening credits, it shows you where America is, which is not America anymore. Where's the Nazi parties conquering lands? There's a neutral zone, and then there's the imperial regime. Now, funny enough, guys, I watched our movie Midway before I watched mm-hmm. this, and so when I watched this, I was like, "Well, damn, I guess yeah." So, man, let's get this started. Hit those spoilers real quick, and let's get it on. So they did everything right as far as the sets, the dress, the behavior. It's 1962. And this is the result of these imperial armies taking over America. And this is the new reality. And it's been so long that there's a complete generation has grown up in this, because it's 1962. And, you know, so the war is over. It's been, what, a little bit more than 10 years, right? And, and we're rolling. So we meet our supposed hero at first, right? That's Joe Blake. And, you know, there's a resistance. It reminds you of France. You know, people got the leather coats and stuff like that. And he's trying to join a resistance. He's kind of dissuaded, but he decides to take it. As soon as he pulls off with the cargo he has, Nazis come in everywhere. He gets away. I thought that was a little strange. What about you, Tiff?
Yeah, I thought, why wouldn't they? Isn't the truck the whole target?
That's what I thought.
But so.
Yeah.
Suspicious.
So he pulls off, and he's got his papers. He has his mission. He's going to meet someone in the neutral zone, which is, I surmise, is Colorado, somewhere around that area or something like that. It's in the middle of the nation. So then quickly, I didn't realize this was a dual story when I started watching. I thought, because all the posters, you only see the one young guy. And so we go to the West Coast, where that's taken over by Japan. And we find one of our heroines here, Juliana, beating the shit out of a Asian man in a dojo, doing Hapkido, and very, very, very vigorously. And I thought that was cool. What about you, Smooth?
Using, what was that, the defense tactic. Yeah, she wasn't
Hapkido.
No offense, she was just defending herself, yeah. It was pretty good, yeah. She was convincing.
Right.
So, and he was getting upset. Yeah, the dude had to tell him, don't let your ego get your ass kicked. Just chill out.
So, in Manhattan, where Joe started out, very oppressive, a very looming Nazi Germany type of look. But here on the Pacific Coast, there's oppression, but it seems to be a little bit more harmonious and accepted for some reason. That was my impression. She's very comfortable with Japanese people. Her mother isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people aren't. But they are definitely the lower class than any Japanese person. You don't see any Japanese people working, you know, meager jobs. They're all government officials or cops. And I thought it was also interesting that there were no, you know, native, if you can call them native, you know, cops, you know, people of authority that was in Japan. So, you know, her sister is, you know, free and fancy free, and she got a job. Next thing you know, she stops by, shoves her a package like in the old spy movies, you know, and then she gets murdered. She goes in the house. I'm like, she's a fool, because they're going to find out that's your sister, and she was so close to your house, she had to be coming to your house. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Now, Juliana bothered me. Hold up for a second. Juliana bothered me in this scene, y'all, and I want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Her sister just got murdered, and she go in and she watched the tape. There's no crying and no nothing. Go ahead, Smooth, your bustle.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was going to say. That was some bad acting right there. Like, you couldn't get a tear out. Like, you know what I'm saying? You couldn't, like, smell an onion or something. Like, cut. Let's get some emotion here. Your sister just got gunned down, man, in front of you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Cold blood.
She moved.
And you know what I'm saying? The first thing you do is watch this tape. It's like, yo, there's no, like, sobbing at all.
No, she moved on ultra quickly, Smooth. I noticed that, and I think Tiff noticed it too. I was like, damn.
Right.
So she watches this film, and it's a supercut of old World War II footage, actual footage from World War II, from the American point of view, the victories. And this got really strange to me really quickly at this point, because I'm like, what? Wait a minute. Is this like a science fiction thing? Or I thought it was just a, you know, a different, you know, take on how things could have. So there's a science fiction element added to this. And so what are you thinking with this stuff, Tiff?
This is based on a book by Philip K. Dick. That's the same guy who wrote Blade Runner. This movie is produced by Ridley Scott.
I saw that.
So, Yeah. So like I kind of knew. I mean, there is a whole genre of science fiction revisionist history stuff where they like imagine what different scenarios would be like if whatever. So the only problem I had with this scene, and potentially that's the mystery of the show that we're trying, because I only watched the first episode, and was that she thinks that it's real.
Yeah.
That like we somehow won the war and then didn't know it, which would be very stupid. I don't know. That just seemed really stupid to me. What seemed more likely would be that it was propaganda film to encourage resistance people.
Yeah.
So like fake stuff made to encourage people to rebel. That's what her boyfriend thought, I guess. That seemed weird to me. But like, yeah, I was intrigued. This part is where I started being like, huh, because I was intrigued before, but like this is the real turning point. Yes. I think.
Now, you bring up something. You brought up the boyfriend. And that kind of added super weight and gravitas to me, because immediately I'm like, wait, Nazis own half of the world, so any black people who was in that country are got to be slaves or all dead, right? And then I thought about Imperial Japan, and I'm like, wow, we're not seeing any people of color in any of these, you know, nothing but whites and Japanese, you know, and it was like, people in trouble. So she gets on a bus move, and she's taking off, and she's going to go, you know, do her sister's mission. At the same time, Joe, you know, he's driving, he gets the blowout, the cop comes. I just knew he was going to be caught, but it didn't happen. The cop, you know, was not a Nazi party member, but just a, you know, police officer, actually fought for the Americans. But she gets her purse taken by that crazy ass lady, and she's racist, and the whole truck was full of what? You had some mentally
go ahead. That was my, so this, that scene in the bus was one of my problems with it, which is such a small scene, and I don't know, because she wakes up and she's just like, oh, stop the bus. And I'm like, if you woke up and your shit was stolen, you'd be like, stop the bus. Like, you'd be screaming.
Right.
Like,
yeah, I'm screaming.
Like, they play it out like he couldn't hear her until she got to the front of the bus.
Yeah.
And she's all like, oh, God, my stuff. Like, I don't know if she's just a bad actress or...
I think she gets better, but this first episode, it did have some stuff to be desired. But I just want to mention that the bus was full of African-Americans, some mentally challenged people.
Right.
It was all undesirables.
Yep.
But it was interesting to me because they were coming from the Japan side. And I was like, are they ill? Yeah. Are they not tolerant like that too? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I was a little, or are they bowing down to their, you know, allies as far as some of their ideals? Because one of my favorite scenes is when Joe was talking to the sheriff. He was like, what the hell is this? And the ash started falling from the sky. And he was like, oh, it's Tuesday. They kill all the cripples and the old people on Tuesday at the hospital. And I was like, oh, God. You know, like, of course. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
So that was a big deal. Mm-hmm. That was a big deal. So she gets to this crummy little small town, right? You know, and she meets Joe because he's coming to the same crummy little small town, and they appear to have the same mission, you know, for this thing.
So before we got to that small town, what I wanted to talk about was he goes to a way station or like an inspection station. And so he's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
What am I carrying? Because before some stuff gets revealed, but like he goes and it actually is the coffee pots that he claims to be transporting. So then he finds a secret compartment with another copy of the same film that Juliana has.
Yeah.
The Grasshoppers, right. Heavy Load or whatever it's fucking called.
Right, right.
I find it weird that the operation would put, like, it's really that important to have, you know what I mean? Like, it's weird that you'd have all this stuff, all this guys, and then the thing that is going, like, is the film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And to be giving it up. So, yeah, I agree. So, Smooth, they get to the town, man. She don't have no money. I thought this was a trip. She set up there and got stuff to eat, but didn't pay. I don't have no money. And the brother who
was... That irritated me.
Right. Well, she didn't have no money.
She should have fucking paid. Well, here's the thing. Why would you order food if you didn't have any money?
Yes.
And then he's like, how are you going to pay me? And she's like, I don't know. And then there was no, like, she didn't say, like, well, I'll do dishes, or I'm really sorry, is there anything I can do that would you accept in exchange for money? She's just like, I can't pay.
If I'm a spy, I'm not going to be making, what do you call it, a spectacle of myself not being able to pay for my meal, you know what I'm saying?
Like, right, right.
So, you know, it was revealed at the end that he was a Nazi insurgent. So,
right,
you know, and that's the end. So, thumbs up, damn it. I went right to the next one. I couldn't even wait. And the next one, and the next one. I think I watched like 5 of these yesterday. I was just like, ooh, this is good. So, man, I'll definitely recommend that any fans want to jump on this, man, because this will, look, people like, y'all the dummies ain't watched it. You
know? Right. This is 4 years in. Yeah, we just now getting to it.
That's good. You got 4 years if you're really into it. Now you can watch, you know, you don't have to.
It's, yeah, nice known cushion.
Yeah, really nice, right, cushion, right? Oh, shoot. So
this, the first episode of this show, it says, was released January 15th, 2015. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Damn. Ooh.
And then the second episode didn't air until November 20th, 2015.
You mean the second season?
No.
Second,
I mean the second episode.
Really? So anyway, man, that's going to do it. We're going to take our final break. We're going to come back with Midway, man. You know, so we'll be right back. We have returned, and we're doing Midway 2019 action, adventure, drama, history, war. What is this? 2 hours and 18 minutes. And before we get it going, it's time for one word. Tip, one word, what you got?
A patriotic. It, like, makes you feel, you know, uh-huh, America.
Smooth, what you got, man?
Admiration.
Interesting. My one word would be surprising. It was surprisingly better than I thought it was going to be. This movie got really, really bad reviews. So this movie stars Ed Sheeran. He's from Deadpool. He played Ajax. You guys remember him? And Patrick Wilson, yeah, one of Tiff's favorites there.
I fucking love Patrick Wilson.
Woody Harrelson, Luke Evans, who I really like, Mandy Moore, and
that was Mandy Moore. Mm-hmm. I did not realize that was her until towards the end of the movie. I was like, that, she looks like Mandy Moore.
Yeah, that was Mandy Moore. Dennis Quaid was in this, and so was Aaron Eckhart.
Yes, he was.
Nick Jonas was in this, looking Nick Jonas's, and so pretty good. And then we had a bunch of Japanese actors. Or should I say Asian actors, because you just, you know, I don't know their background. But I can't pronounce any of these names. I'm sorry.
Well, it looks like a lot of them are, like, on the top bill are Japanese. There's that Etsushi Toyokawa, mm-hmm, Tadanobu Asano. Mm-hmm. So
I love it.
Like, you know, pretty, they must be probably famous in Japan, because, or at least known, because they have Wikipedia pages.
Right.
Well, wasn't the one that played in Mortal Kombat? He was in there. He was like one of the generals, right?
No, you got the Man in the High
Castle. That wasn't him.
That was the Man in the High Castle.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yep,
that is true.
A lot of people was recognizable in this movie. A lot of stars. So, guys.
Yes, there was a lot of playing, kind of like smaller.
Yes.
Not like small, but, like, you know, they're not in there a lot.
Right. So let's hit those spoilers and let's get it on, man. So, one thing, maybe this movie was surprising to me, because I was expecting another Pearl Harbor, and I was like, and when I say Pearl Harbor, yeah, Pearl Harbor was noisy, it was a bunch of stuff going on, but it just wasn't a good movie, you know, it just wasn't. And so this, I was expecting the exact same thing. I was like, man, they doing Pearl Harbor again. So the biggest difference that I really like about this movie is that they didn't waste time. And the other thing that was really good about it is that the characters were real people, all of them,
mm-hmm,
based on true stuff. And so we didn't have, like in Pearl Harbor, two fictitious characters, you know, that running around, you know, doing all this historic stuff. And so because they're not part of history, you got leeway doing the stuff that they're doing. They didn't do this in this movie. They use real people, and I'm a World War II buff, so I was really sitting there like, oh, I know what it is. You know, I was like, oh wow, they're really really using the real people. And so I'll tell you who did a really surprising great job in this movie for me, and that was Patrick Wilson.
I loved his character. That guy was real, and nobody believed him, you know, when he was trying to put the warning out. But I never seen Patrick Wilson playing a role like this, and I really liked it because, you know, he wasn't hunky. He wasn't the villain. He wasn't the asshole because he plays a lot of assholes.
Okay, not hunky. Speak for yourself.
Even with the glasses and looking like a nerd, he was still
so handsome.
Still hunky.
Still hunky.
Yeah, I mean, what has he played a hunk in, though? Because I'm trying to
he's
figure
never
out.
Been a hunk.
Oh, yes. He's been in plenty of things where he's been the, you know, the man. I'm trying to, I can't see. Y'all caught me off guard. But, I mean, all you got to do is hit the button, and there it is. I mean, shoot. Well, he wasn't the hunk, but he's been in The Conjuring. One, two.
Yeah, he's in a lot of the horror movies. I guess he was the Agent Lynch in the A-Team.
Yeah, that's not a good
Agent
guy.
Vance Buress. I don't know. I don't know if it's good, but he could have played like someone handsome. I don't know who that person is.
He played the villain in Aquaman, and he's still a good-looking villain, though. You know, he was King Orin.
Oh yeah, he was.
He was in Aquaman. Okay. Yeah, he was.
Bone Tomahawk. I mean, he's been in a lot of stuff, man. TV shows,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he has been in a lot of stuff.
A Gifted Man. I used to love that TV show. He was kind of hunky in that. And so that was a really good show, man. A Gifted Man. But
Shit. He's in... So there's a movie on Netflix called In the Tall Grass. Uh-huh. Have you guys seen that?
No, but that's it's like a spooky thing, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's in that.
He was in Watchmen. We all know that. So, come
on. Oh, yeah.
Damn, he's good looking. 1973, he was born. He's within my... I can marry him. He's 46.
He's old as me, so...
Yeah.
Oh shit. So anyway, man. So they don't waste their time, man. You know, it has a kind of a Top Gun thing right in the beginning. We meet our two main actors, but yeah, we meet Dick Best and Wade McCluskey, played by Luke Evans, and they got this love hate relationship. And boy, Bess is a hot dog. He's just doing stuff. The crap he did on the aircraft carrier just right in the beginning was ridiculous. And he's so much of a hot dog that some people don't respect him because they don't think he respects his own life when he goes over there. He has a reputation that he doesn't mind if he comes back. So where is this hitting you, Tiff?
Yeah, so I think they do a really good job establishing his character without doing it. I mean, they do kind of like... You slow down, you whippersnapper. Right. It's not like over the top. It's pretty well done.
Yeah, because it can get annoying when they're doing that, right? Like you're on edge. Yeah. You need to slow down. So smooth. They did Pearl Harbor early in this movie. It was great. I liked it better than the movie Pearl Harbor. What did you think about it?
I agree. I think it was they did a good job on this part. Like, and it had a more of a horrible feeling. This one, and you know how right. they did it. You know, you really felt it on this one. Like, yeah, you've seen Pearl Harbor. You know, people die, but this one, it was more like they tried to make it like a hero thing on Pearl Harbor. When this one was, you know, this is like the real. Yeah, we got ambushed and it sucked.
Hey, Smooth. You know? Perhaps in the Pearl Harbor movie, they were trying to be so spectacular with the attacks. It didn't have any heart. That's how I felt about it. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Yeah, right.
The little kid from
exactly. Yeah, they try to make it like an action, like with the action movie.
So anyway, our boy's best friend get murdered in that attack, but he went down like a soldier, y'all. He went down fighting all
he
the
looks,
way.
What else has that guy been in? He looks familiar. To
Deadpool.
Me.
He was an Ajax in Deadpool.
Oh, okay.
You know, you remember him? He was a mad scientist. Mm-hmm. So anyway, man. You know, I was getting him confused with Nicholas Holt at first. I was like, "Is that Nicholas Holt? Is that Nicholas Holt? No, it's not Nicholas Holt." Anyway, so Pearl Harbor happens, and then the end of Pearl Harbor comes up in this movie with the Aaron Eckhart character, and I thought that was cool because they wrapped up two big events with Jimmy Doolittle, Colonel Doolittle, and it was a issue in our movie. But it wasn't a focus. So it was a side story going on that they wrapped up pretty quickly. And I thought they did that brilliantly. I mean, what are you guys' thoughts on that? I mean, because it was interesting. It happened. They crash land.
You're talking about
the bombing of Tokyo,
right? And then you know, yeah, him being protected, but they were like bombing the people and stuff like that. It was such a sub story in a story. I didn't feel like it pulled us away from everything, because you could have doing stuff something like that, because that's how it felt in Pearl, that it was like, oh shit, y'all should have ended this movie, you know, when the raid happened. But this happens, right. Mm-hmm. And then it's all that tragedy that he witnessed and stuff like that. So, I mean, how did that get you, Smooth? Did you feel like that was pulling away from the story too much, or you think it was cool?
No, I thought it was, like you said, I thought it was, they did a great job. You know, okay. it was a history lesson, mm-hmm, that I enjoyed pretty much.
A very real one, too, if you study it. Right. So this whole thing with Midway, it's actually a lot more complicated than the movie portrayed it, about what happened and how they were out there looking for the fleet and they couldn't find the fleet. It had disappeared and stuff like that, and they set this trap. They kind of just half-assed brushed on it, like they found the fleet pretty quickly, but no, in real life, it was really crazy. They were out there for hours looking for that damn thing, and they just happened to find it on a wing and a prayer. And so it started. Mm-hmm. And so the battle of Midway, for me, it was so intense, man, you know, because these cats was getting taken out, y'all, you know, doing these, mm-hmm, dive bombs and stuff. And I'm going to say something that I thought was really unnecessary, though. When they captured the one, the two soldiers and did the anchor to the bottom of the ocean. See, because one thing about this movie that I liked is that they didn't really demonify anyone. They did a good job showing people at war, because they allowed us to meet the Japanese officers and the plight that they were under and the stress that they were under to try to make things successful. And it showed them as human beings more than it's just these goddamn demons. And, you know, the only demon type of behavior to happened with the Japanese, officer tying this dude up to an anchor, which was like, come on, dude, you ain't even need to do all that like that, you know. But, I think it worked too hard trying to make them villains in that scene. I didn't think it was necessary, because I think it was established that it was a war, and you don't have to be villains to be in a war with a person. I don't know. What do you guys think about that? How did you think about that scene?
Well, put it like this. They should have balanced it out. Like Saving Private Ryan, they showed how we, our side, you know, when they gave up, they didn't give a shit. We're still going to shoot you. I mean, you know, maybe if they would show some interaction with how maybe if we took some POWs and maybe we didn't treat them as, you know, as fairly. But I mean, I see your point, though. Yeah, they kind of, like you said, they it's like you guys had jobs to do.
Oh, I don't know if like the reason was maybe to give that particular person who reported as like
missing in action.
Lost. Mm-hmm. Missing. To give that person like kind of a heroic ending. I don't know. I could see it easily being left out of the film.
That's what I'm saying.
It didn't play any. It didn't. Nothing happened in relation to that. Like when you watch that scene in the film, the implication or the feeling that you get would be that the other guy
squealed.
Revealed secrets, but that nothing happens that implies that. It just is a scene in the movie.
Yeah, I think that's what my point was. It just could have been left out. And so,
right,
you know, so this battle ensues, and you know, it's pretty slick, man. And that was also true. You know, they made it a point to show the guys filming on the beach. They were actually filming a movie that day, a documentary. And so this cat had caught more battle footage in the history of man, you know, that one photographer. That director that was out there. So pretty interesting. So our boy, they win, man, right? They bomb the thing, and you know, a lot of the stuff that happened in the battle was historically accurate. Just like they kept telling them to change like the bombs from sea to land and stuff like that, and it did end up blowing up just like it did because of that, because they really weren't ready. So I was loving it. You know, I was like, oh man, so they're not making shit up. Is what I like. They wasn't making shit up just to make a good movie. They were sticking to the facts.
Hey, now when they missed the torpedo, when the torpedoes missed, did you like scream at the TV? Because I know I did. And it was, you know what I'm saying? When they missed the bombs, like, oh no, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, no, they didn't hit it. You know what I'm saying? I was like into it.
Yeah, but it happened like that though. You know, it's you right. do all that diving and stuff, and you know, it's man, they showed you, in my opinion, the director did a really good job showing just how difficult it was to land a bomb. You think you just go up there and just let that sucker die, but this dive bomb and stuff, man, could you imagine just flying that bullets going to you?
No. No, man, they did that did a great job. That point of view was great, seriously, because I felt like I was I'm like, he's about to get shot, especially when he got that close, and you couldn't even see, all you saw was black smoke at one time.
Yeah.
It's also crazy to me to think that, like, when you're watching this, like, I remember actually being told recently that, like, so this is going to sound really stupid, but, like, if there is an active shooter situation, mm-hmm. sometimes people freeze because they're obviously scared or, like, think that it's helpful to move around because it's a lot harder to hit a moving target, even if you're only moving a little bit.
Right.
And I'm not saying that, like, anyone, whatever, but, like, that's just a safety measure. But it's weird because when you're watching them fly and there's so many bullets, it's like, I thought, how is it possible that they're even making it through
right.
all of those bullets?
You know, that's pretty much the end of the film. You know, I really like the epilogues they show with, you know, the admirals and all the characters, and, you know, gave you their future stories and stuff like that. You know, Best comes home. He can't – he'll never fly again, and – you know, the one admiral played by Dennis Quaid had the shingles and stuff like that, and you know.
Sorry,
I mean,
that's not funny. It's just a weird detail in the movie.
Oh yeah, the shingles back in the day used to take people out, Tiff. You know, that was serious shit. You know, that was like,
that rash looked nasty.
It did.
Yeah, it did.
When I looked at it, I said, I bet you he got chicken pox, you know, which is shingles for adults, and you know, mm-hmm. I was just like, damn.
Right.
And lo and behold, so Woody Harrelson looked funny, but he did a really good job in this movie. I just want to say that. That white hair. Yeah. With the white hair. So I was very pleasantly surprised by this movie, guys. I expected it to be garbage, and it wasn't. But it's gotten terrible reviews, so I was just like, that's why you can't listen to it.
I didn't know that the captain actually did go down with the ship.
Man, dude.
I heard about that, but that surprised me. That scene surprised me.
Everything was historically accurate. I tell you what, if I was his lieutenant, I wouldn't be sitting there crying trying to stay on that damn boat with you. All right, sir. See you later.
No, I'm out.
We're going to get this life raft over here, you know?
So if a boat goes down, well, that boat wasn't going down. I think that's the difference, I guess. But like, if a boat goes down, isn't the captain supposed to stay on board?
That's some old pirate stuff. Okay?
Unless they can easily get off. Does that make sense? Like, if you can get off safely and the rest of it. Like, we watched a thing recently where a guy, some boat was sinking, and the captain left the ship before all the passengers got off.
That was,
right, that was.
And he got in a lot of trouble.
That was an Italian cruise ship. I remember that. He's supposed to be the last one off the ship. He don't have to go down with the ship.
Right.
Yeah, that captain was on the beach with umbrella drinks and butt-naked freaks having a ball, and people were still going down in the ocean. It's like, dude, what you up here having some margaritas for? Dude, get back down here. Yeah, he went to I think he went to prison for that.
He did.
He did. Yeah, he did.
Yeah. As he should. So, man, I think that's going to do it, man. This week, man, on our lockdown show, we're going to do, what's the name of that show, that movie?
Lovebirds.
We're going to do Lovebirds, man. So tune in for a comedy, which is pretty rare on this show. Also, next week, we're going to do Space Force, and that's going to be our main topic. Did we pick a one-shot yet this week, guys?
Yes, you picked one, Star Child, Moon Child, what's that called?
No, it's called Star Girl.
It's a CW show, yeah.
Star All Girl right. has Good. Debuted. Moonchild, which is an awesome ass group band. I love Moonchild. Anyway, I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is the sensitive poet herself, Miss Tifflebot. Say goodbye to the people, Tiff.
It's been a pleasure as always.
And Mr.
SMOOVE, spell smooth, not Dwayne.
So until next week, man, we will be
on
Patrol.